This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
And away we go.
I'm not buying a tank top just because you've declared it's tank top day, okay? I don't look good in them, and they cost way too much for that little material, and I'm not doing it. Unless you can get management to decree that I must do it like khaki day, and then maybe I will.
I think not only should we have tank top Thursday, khakis Friday.
Doesn't sound good. Doesn't roll off the There is no day where khaki sounds good on it.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Radio Show, or what is unofficially today turned into Gamecock Thursday on the show. It's just been all South Carolina all day. Why not continue the conversation by heading right down the road to Columbia, South Carolina, and welcome in our next guest. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. She is phenomenal. She is Lulu Kessin joining us here on the show. Good morning, young lady. How we doing?
Good morning. Happy Thursday. I am good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. I'm spectacular. Lulu, we've been talking Gamecocks all day. And I'm gonna throw a switch here. I was gonna ask you about what I've been saying about South Carolina this morning and get your thoughts. Instead, I'm gonna let Lonzo tell you what he thinks I've been saying about the Gamecocks, and then we're gonna see where you fall on that scale. Cause he accuses me of, like, you know, massaging the language to make myself look better. So I'm going to let Lonzo tell you what I've been saying and then get your reaction to it.
Sorry you got to be okay in the middle of this, Lulu, but the fact that he thinks he's throwing me under a bus, but he's not, because
I'm giving you the opportunity to make it where I'm not making you look like the bad guy here.
Not to sound a certain way, but my picture is on the side of the building,
it
too.
Is.
So,
it
I mean,
is.
You know, there's that. Rob was asked by a fan, what was the exact question the fan asked you?
I was asked by a fan last night I'm going to quote him directly, can my Gamecocks fix it, end quote.
And Rob's answer was no.
That is not what my answer was. Now you're being disingenuous. My answer, Lulu Kessin, was yes, but you should find something better to do this weekend than watch the football game.
He told a fan to not watch the game this Saturday, and I think that's a disservice to the fan, because you're saying that the Gamecocks have no chance at all.
Correct.
And that's ridiculous.
Correct.
And I'm sure Lulu's going to be on my side and not on yours.
I definitely think you should watch the game this weekend. Do I think Alabama is going to come out a different beast than normal after losing to Vanderbilt? 100%. But I think this game is way more about South Carolina fixing their own mistakes than necessarily looking to upset Alabama.
So let's talk about those mistakes. Let me tell you what I've said all morning long that they are. Because this is a team against Kentucky that went out there, executed good game plan, varied up the offense, did the same thing against LSU. Most of us feel like they should have won that LSU game, like that LSU game was jobbed away from them, Lulu. My disappointment in the Ole Miss game is that the team looked undisciplined. It looked like the game plan was either A, bad, or B, they weren't going to. This is what we're going to do, whether it works or it doesn't. And it didn't. It just looked like a football team that spent the first four games of the season taking a huge step forward, and then in one game gave all that ground back. Am I being too negative here?
No. I mean, offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins told media yesterday, it's the first time he feels like the team took a step back. Like, he is always the first to talk about Lenora Sellers' age and the youth of the wide receivers, and he'll give credit where credit's due, but at the same time, he'll really bring up the fact that youth is a huge factor, and so he's been really harping on just improving each game each week, and it truly looks like they took a step back against Ole Miss. And I think that was especially disappointing coming out of the bye week. A lot of people were like, you had an entire extra week, and this is what you draw up, this is what you come out with. And I 1,000% agree with that mentality. From an athlete's perspective, did I expect that South Carolina was going to come out like red hot from the first drive of the game? Honestly, no, because you have that week off and you're kind of like lethargic and you're getting back into it. But did I expect them to come out the way that they did? Absolutely not. I thought it was just a poor offensive showing and lacked a lot of assertiveness and explosiveness.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So if it's discipline, which I felt like there was a lack thereof, and I know we've all kind of hung on the Dylan Stewart incident, which I don't think is unfair, right? Like, the NCAA has made it very clear that the brandishing a weapon thing is a point of emphasis. I understand he's young. He's made a mistake. And I heard Shane in his press conference say, well, you know, the social media angels who have never done anything wrong. I think the point is, and this is something I am going to say, I kind of came after Shane a little bit for yesterday. I don't think the complaints are, oh, we want Dylan Stewart kicked off the team. I think the complaint is, when you are five games deep in the season, when you are in a game that is an opportunity to make a statement, and I think that Ole Miss game was, and you are making that dumb of a decision, that's the lack of discipline. I think that is what the biggest complaint is so far. Do you think that was a bigger issue, or do you think just a lack of execution on the field was a bigger issue, or maybe some mix of the two?
I think a mix of the two, and I think the lack of discipline is a huge issue that I've been looking at sort of all week. I think the whole Dylan Stewart situation is super layered, and I think that a lot of what Shane was directly addressing, you know, like, there were some disgusting things said online and even on comments on my story just about Dylan Stewart, and I think Shane was right to really, like, hone in on that. That being said, you can't help but kind of say it might have been a deflection for him to narrow in on one play when, honestly, there were a lot of penalties that proved his team looked undisciplined. And I think that goes to coaching. Like, I think it also begs the question of, like, can you teach discipline in October? Is it something that, which is what I've been talking to other coaches this week about and sort of trying to get, like, a coaching and a player perspective. Like, Shane told us he's been a part of many different teams that have taken a bunch of different approaches to fixing penalties, whether, you know, in terms of punishment, but it's kind of like, why is this continuously happening? I mean, I think they had 8 penalties against Akron. Like, this isn't just we lose the game because of penalties. Like, it just is, it's so clearly a major problem that I think is just, they can't execute if their drives are being killed by momentum because of penalties. Like, it just, it all works together. And why they haven't figured that out, like, I don't know. And I know that they're talking about it, but it's seemingly, in my opinion, the biggest problem right now, because I think it goes hand in hand with execution. Like, how can you get your redshirt freshman to be confident in producing if, one, he's getting sacked every play, which doesn't have to necessarily do with penalties, but with these pre-snap penalties and these defensive penalties, like, it's just a nightmare in terms of gelling and momentum and everything that you want if you're going to produce on offense.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. She joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock athletics. Lulu, I'm going to ask you to shift from reporter to editorialist here for just a minute. When it comes to the discipline and all that, we've talked earlier in the show about the fact that Alabama's loss to Vanderbilt this weekend, to me, was caused by a lot of the same problems. It was a lack of discipline in big spots. It was the lack of execution of what was already a not great game plan. I think they overlooked Vandy, and it came back to bite them a little bit. And then Lonzo said, well, why aren't you beating the drum on Bama like you are on Vandy? And my response, Lulu Kesson, was because Kalen DeBoer has been there for a half of an offseason and five games, Shane's 3.5 seasons deep at this point. If you don't have discipline instilled in your program and your team after 3.5 years, it's a hell of a lot different than after a half an offseason and five games. Do you think that this is something that is a primary concern of Gamecock fans? Or, as Lonzo has said, should we write this off as a one-off game and give them the opportunity to come out and look more like the Kentucky-South Carolina team than the Ole Miss-South Carolina team?
I definitely think that overall it's a culture of discipline that you sort of have to create. And I don't think that South Carolina should, you know, be excused in any way. And I don't think that the Ole Miss game was just it on the biggest stage, like against the best team. And I think probably even the Kentucky game, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think the Kentucky game, they probably were called for penalties, but did enough on offense to get through it. Like, I think that this is a pattern that every South Carolina football fan has a right to worry about.
All right, let's turn our attention ahead, Lulu. You got a trip to Tuscaloosa, Alabama coming up this weekend. And unfortunately for the Gamecocks, it's against an Alabama team that I got to imagine is going to be mad as a hornet after being, frankly, embarrassed. We talked about this earlier. I think Vandy over Bama is going to be put into that echelon of Appalachian State, Michigan in terms of the greatest upsets in our lifetime overall. College football teams inside the top 25 that are upset cover the spread the next week at like a 75% clip. It's a ridiculous number of rebound games. And it's not just that they were upset. It's how they were upset and who upset them. I think South Carolina, to me, this isn't a game I'm concerned about points. You're a 21.5 point underdog, a full 3 touchdown dog in this one. To me, this is a go out there, keep the penalties to a minimum. Don't allow Alabama to get in your head. Don't allow Alabama to change the way that you attack the game. I hate to say it, I don't care about the score of this game. I don't care if you lose by 42 because you're up against a juggernaut that is furious right now, Lulu Kesson. I just want to see that up against a team that's got a little extra juice, a little extra oomph, you're able to go out there and execute your game plan. What are your expectations? What do you want to see out of the team this weekend on the road in Tuscaloosa?
100%. I agree with that. I think this is a game where Lenora Sellers has to see himself succeed. Like, I think it's a confidence game. Like, he admitted, like, he was like, yeah, I just, like, missed my receivers last week. Like, he had some trouble. That being said, definitely not ready to give up on Lenoris, like some people seemingly are on Twitter. But regardless, I think this is a game where Lenoris just has to gain confidence. You know, the injuries, he's getting sacked, he's playing, he's not playing. Like, it hasn't been an easy start to the season for him. And I think he needs to get back to that assertive level of play that everyone saw in the first half against LSU and most of the game against Kentucky, because he's shown his capabilities. It's just about being consistent again. And I think that starts with a game like Alabama, where you're not necessarily holding the weight of an upset win like they might have been or he might have felt against LSU or maybe Ole Miss. But regardless, I think it's how can the defense play a clean game? How can the defense defend? I mean, the secondary, like, they're going to have a lot of trouble with Ryan Williams. It's going to come down to can they defend him or even potentially defend him without constant pass interference calls. So exactly like you said, I think this is really a game for South Carolina to build confidence. And I know people will probably be like, there's no such thing as like a moral victory, but you got to be realistic. And the only way South Carolina is going to improve is if they get the most out of this game. And right now that doesn't seem like it's a win. It's improving their offense, their offensive production, and playing a clean game on defense.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. We talked a little bit about Lenora Sellers earlier this week. I'm with you. I've seen the tweets. I've seen the Instagram stories, the people ready to walk away from this young man, which I agree. I think, frankly, it's just a silly opinion to have. I think we've seen the flashes out of Lenora Sellers that shows you it's in there. But I also think we got to remember this kid is starting game number 6 of his career at this point. Like, maybe take just a breather. But you are rolling him out there against a very good, very fast, very hard-hitting Alabama defense. What does the offense do differently this week to try to get the Lenora Sellers train rolling a little bit?
I think, a weird thing is that Vanderbilt's kind of like quarterback mobility really helped last week. So that also adds a layer, like Shane said to us earlier this week, he doubts Alabama's going to come out and do the same thing. So it's sort of like, okay, can Lenoris have a strong enough offensive line where he can make downfield throws? Because I think that Alabama might potentially see him as a run-first quarterback based on Ole Miss and based on last week. So I think he might be almost challenged to use his arm and sit in the pocket if his offensive line can hold up and protect him. So I think it all goes together. I think the wide receivers, if they're better perimeter blocking, trying to get the run game going, and then also if they're working a little bit harder than they did against Ole Miss to get open, I think Lenoris shows his dynamic abilities. But I think it's going to be a little tricky if South Carolina just has Lenoris scrambling on every play and he's either throwing it out of bounds or running to the sideline. Like, you're not really going to be able to produce in that regard. So I think succeeding on third down, which South Carolina has only done 21 of 70 times this year, will be huge because that all builds momentum and confidence. And the only way he's going to do anything well is if he does something different than Ole Miss, and that's definitely throw the ball more.
All right, last one, Lulu Kessin, then we'll let you go. I said to Lonzo earlier, and I'm sorry to say it because I want to be bullish. I want to be optimistic. But to me, there's no universe where the Gamecocks can win this game, and it's more the context away from the football field than the strategy and the players that are on it. But for the sake of ending the conversation, as we always do, South Carolina wins on the road at Tuscaloosa if blank.
if South Carolina plays like they want to upset Alabama. I think South Carolina has witnessed teams in the SEC upset teams week after week, and I wonder why South Carolina plays as though they can't. And I think for once, if South Carolina uses their momentum and their strength and their power and doesn't use that to draw penalties, I think South Carolina could win this game. And I think that's going to be a huge factor for sure. I think maturity is going to matter more than anything else, which I know doesn't directly answer that question. But like you said, it's a unique week.
Discipline, discipline, discipline. Lulu Kessin joins the show every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock athletics. Lulu, you are the best. Thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week. Have a enjoyable weekend as is possible.
Thank you. Yeah, I will. And if everyone wants to learn about Demetrius Knight Jr., you can read my feature on him this morning. I can promise you won't be disappointed. But yes, talk to you next week. Thank you for having me, as always.
Anytime. You can follow Lulu on the X at Lulu Kessin, at Lulu Kessin, KESIN. If you're going to commit to Tank Top Thursday, someone in sales should get you a trainer and spray tan endorsement.
Oh, hey, listen, we can do the spray. We don't need an endorsement for spray. I'll spray tan you.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, they make the canned stuff. I'll just bring it in. We'll go one arm at a time, and people can judge.
I could just go outside.
Come on.
I could just go outside.
When are you going to have time to do that?
I don't know. Plus, maybe instead of going home and doing the dishes and vacuuming, I'll go outside and get a tan. How we feel about that? It's person on the stream who shall remain unnamed, but has a very lovely last name.
It's practically winter outside. I mean, you're not going to go outside.
It was real nice this morning. It was very football-y outside this morning. All right. We got to take
a break. It's hockey weather for you, so you're not going to go outside.
It is hockey weather. You know why it's hockey weather? Because it's hockey season, baby. The NHL is back. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits are back. It's hockey season, my dudes. All right, let's take a break, mainly because after this comment from someone that I'm very close to, I need to go de-stress for a second. All right? Me and my pale arms and droopy ass. Lonzo and Rob, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rashad Beard joins us in 20 minutes here on the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Surrounded by positivity today. Just, I feel the love and support flowing from all of my most important relationships.
We're trying to make you better and show you what a good outlook on life is and not this negative. It's the sunglasses, man. You put those things on and you are a different person.
I was just referred to as a great value Pat McAfee by my wife. So cool.
She knows your hopes, your dreams, and you've said it many times on the air that's the show you want to be. So you're one step closer to that.
No, what I said was I was that show first.
Were you? I don't know that you were.
Sans the tank tops.
Is he older than you or are you older than
him?
No,
I'm older than him.
Yeah, but you were out of stuff for a while.
I've been in this game 17 years doing this show.
You decided to be a banker for a while. You've told us that many times.
So. I made the mistake that Pat didn't. By the way, big fan of the Pat McAfee show. So that we're clear, I'm a fan. All right, I'm a defender. I'm a fan.
Yeah, we almost like had him on the show once.
Yeah,
it was. Awesome.
I just want to be very clear about this. I made one premier mistake in my life, and that's not starting my career with NFL money. All right. And I'll tell you, the day I became a fan was the day that he said to Triple H, when I got my first contract, one of the first things I bought was a wrestling ring that I then set up in the barn at my house just because I wanted to do it for fun. I'm like, yeah.
I get it. It's not just that, but he also paid his dues. He went through Barstool and learned how to do things
for
that
sure.
way. And then came out on the other side and
for
was
sure.
doing what
all this, I
this should be
to
who
do.
You strive to be. To a degree, and not try to compare yourself to.
All I needed to do was learn how to kick a damn football, and we'd be there already. All right, we'd be national right now.
I don't know if you have kicker frame. You're a little too tall.
I don't know, man. I feel like there's been some tall kickers, right? Tallest NFL kickers, Neil O'Donohue, the legendary Russell Exelbrink. Was 6'4".
Yeah, like anyone knows who that is.
Oh, it was a New Orleans Saints legend.
Okay.
Ryan Succop, 6'2". The great Dane Morton Anderson, 6'2". Okay. Graham Ga-Ono, 6'2". Tom Dempsey, 6'2".
Last I checked, you know, you're taller than them.
Neil Racker, 6'1". Sebastian, the Polish powder keg. Kent Janikowski, 6'1". Justin Tucker, 6'1". He's done all right for himself.
Taller than all those guys.
I mean, yeah, like a couple of inches.
Still, you're taller.
Let's see, who are the shortest NFL kickers? Both Grammaticas.
It's got to be the Grammaticas, yeah.
Got to be the Grammaticas. Let's see, Randy Bullock, 5'9", Matt Prater, 5'10", Jason Elam, 5'11".
All those guys are taller than Bryce Young.
Oh, hey! We need to talk about this, both because Texter asked me to and because I want to. We got to talk for just a brief second about my New Orleans Saints. But maybe not anymore, because this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Rat Daddy. Dennis Allen making the announcement yesterday that former South Carolina Gamecock and fifth round pick of our New Orleans Saints, Spencer Rattler, getting the nod over Jake Haener as QB1.
Rattler.
You're on notice, baby. We are so back. Rat Daddy about to light the league on fire. Jaden Daniels, who?
Man, I hope that doesn't catch on. That's just, it's not very flattering.
Being
a rat daddy.
If he balls out week, it's just rat. I may, the speaking of the wife, the loving, supportive one that she is.
Oh, without a doubt, from all the comments. Yeah.
Loving, supportive as she is. She did ask me, she said, I will wear a Saints jersey. Can I get a Spencer Rattler jersey? I said, you're damn right you can get a Spencer Rattler jersey.
Rattler.
Yes, okay. You're damn right you can. But I'm going to tell you right now, he comes out this weekend. He beats Tampa Bay this weekend. He takes down Baker and the Bucks this weekend. Not only is she getting a Spencer Rattler jersey, I'm going to get it customized to say Rat Daddy across the back.
She doesn't want that. I guarantee she doesn't want something that says Rat Daddy on it.
I guarantee she'd go dope. Love it.
It's a horrible nickname. You guys need to stop.
Rat Daddy's a great nickname. By the way, I was busting up Beamer earlier, and somebody texted the show and said, listen to Rob talking about Shane and the Gamecocks like he's not a Saints fan. Yeah, again, I know. I'm aware, all right? I get it. But that quote should say, we bleeping used to suck, because Rat Daddy is in the house, baby. QB1, he's on the way. The hopes and dreams restored for the Houdat Nation, because the Rat Daddy's here. It's time.
Yeah, no one's going to call him that. They're just not going to do it.
Time.
If you're going to get a nickname like that, we already would have heard it before, like a couple days ago, whenever the texter said that, and then you decided that's yours now, and you're going to keep going with it, and it's horrible.
Texter says, and I quote, and I'm reading this verbatim word for word. Rat Daddy!
I'm going to go with James, who says, I'd only refer to Master Splinter as Rat Daddy.
He's a cartoon. Spencer Rattler, not a cartoon. Real guy, real man, real legend, incoming. Saints win 90 points this weekend for the Houdat Nation, baby.
He's a cartoon, says the guy with a cartoon tank top on.
Rat Daddy! Can't wait. Can't wait. You know what else I can't wait for? I can't wait to talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast coming up in the next segment. We'll talk to Rashad about everything going on in the world of Carolina. We'll get his thoughts on the Rat Daddy. Spencer Rattler getting his nod this weekend. Texas said, Rob.
I was going to say, let's see if Rashad shakes his head as hard as I am when you do that.
Rat Daddy. You know what? Forget the wife. I might get me a Rat Daddy jersey if he tears it up this weekend. Just game one. Going all in. Texas said, Rob is right. I stopped watching the Ole Miss game at halftime, and I'm a Gamecock fan.
So you're talking about the jerseys that you wouldn't wear Monday when they were playing Kansas City? You know, that those New Orleans?
You mean the game that jerseys? I told you exactly how it was going to go, and it went exactly that way?
So you're only a fan of a team when you think they're going to win?
No, I'm just not going to wear their you-know-what if they're going to play like you-know-what. Texas said, let's start a GoFundMe to get Lonzo a tank top.
I'm not saying no. I mean, you know, actually, I've been looking up prices. It's not that expensive. But finding the right size that fits for me, that's a totally different story.
Rashad Beard coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. At 8:40 on Thursdays, we take a ride right up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, and talk to the host of the Panther Nation podcast. If you are a Panther fan, if you just want to know what's going on with the Cats, there is nowhere else to go than the PNP. We want to welcome the Army in as well as the host of that particular podcast. Rashad Beard joins us here on the show. What's up, big fella?
What's going on, guys, man? Another week, another L, but Panther Nation is still here, man. PNP, we still here. Shout out to all my PNP army in the building, in the chat, man. Appreciate y'all, man. We still here.
I just want to participate just one little bit, and then I'll do what I normally do and just go over there and listen to, because I don't want to take Rashad's time. Black helmets are sweet, man. They are. I mean, the game may not end up, but the black helmets, those, I like those.
We're going to look good. That's one thing that's going to happen this week. I can't say too much about the play on the field, but our appearance is going to look very good. So I appreciate the black helmets. It's going to be dope.
When in doubt, have good merch. I mean, that's the rule one of professional wrestling. When in doubt, have good merch. Rashad Beard joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It is the black helmets coming out this weekend as the Carolina Panthers try to rebound. Let's go back in time a little bit, Rashad, and talk about this game last week. We talked a lot about the Gamecocks today, and that the fact that the loss to Ole Miss was disappointing, not because of the loss, but because of the fact that it just felt like they took a step back after a couple of steps forward. You kind of feel the same way about the Panthers against Chicago on Sunday? Like, is it to me, the disappointing part was, I look at the Cincinnati game, I saw execution, discipline, game plan, didn't work out the way you wanted to, but it was a consistent game, and then on Sunday, it just kind of felt like the wheels came off a little bit.
Yeah, wheels definitely came off. Game was the first game where I thought Canales got really outcoached. It was very apparent, right? Andy Dalton basically looked like Bryce Young out there. That was a Bryce Young led offense to me. So it didn't look good. Defensively, we're not good. No pass rush. We got some real issues on defense side of football. We need a pass rush badly, and it's just a bad game across the board. Bad game. And of course, it compounds when you lose to the team that you basically gave all your draft picks to for Bryce Young, and Bryce Young's not playing in the game. So there was a lot of nuance in this game, a lot of things to play for. We just didn't show up. We got out coached from snap to snap. Basically, after the second drive we had, or the first drive we had, it was over from that point. And we got out coached, man.
All right, so let's go with this. There's a lot of different things we can attack. Since you brought it up, let's start with that. We talked about it a little bit last week, and it seems like the PNP Army was on board with the theory that you made the switch from BY to Andy Dalton so that Canales could show that the system can work. We just got to have a developed, polished quarterback in there at QB, and I would argue that it did, but now you're saying the very next week the coaching kind of took a step back as well. Where do you stand on that? Like, was it a bad enough performance that you got a little doubt creeping in, or was it just a, hey, first-year head coach, we're going to have a couple of bad performances?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you want to be patient with Canales. I'm not, you know, it's going to take some time. I've seen some things at Canales where I like. He does some good things, but also I question the talent level of this roster. I don't know that we have the talent across the board to execute, especially on the defensive side of the football. Offensively, I just think you have a bad game or two. I'm not going to kill him for that. So it's okay. You know what I mean? I think, you know, the offensive line is one area where we have improved. They looked okay up until the point where Taylor Moton went down and Austin Corbett went down. After that, it got a little shaky. So there are some positives you could pick from this roster and this team, just not enough. Across the board, just the talent level's not there. Especially on the defensive side of football, we got some issues, really, really bad issues on the defensive side.
I think that's kind of been my thing coming in is, and the reason I'm not hitting the panic button yet, Rashad, is because you stack the injuries on top of expectations, right? Like I think that's one thing that you and I both kind of preached a little bit coming into the season was have realistic expectations so that we can get a real grade at the end of this year of whether or not we met them. I don't know what the expectations are. I know what Vegas is where you got a win total of 5.5 over under.
Yep.
Expectation wise, I think you're kind of right around the spot that we thought we were going to be, but then you stack on the litany of injuries that have been stacking up, right? You talked about Moton, you talked about Corbett, we talked about Shaq Thompson last week. When you got guys dropping like flies and they are the limited amount of talent you had on a limited talent roster, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. My question is, am I going to see development of the guys that you believe are the future? Am I going to see a coaching staff that is still coaching through it instead of panicking and running around with their hair on fire? And the answer to me right now is, kinda, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Trevon Wallace had a decent game. If you're looking for him to replace Shaq Thompson in the future, there are some guys out there developing. I mean, I know we kind of skipped over it, but Chuba Hubbard, I mean, had a great game. He's playing well. It's a contract year for him. A little frustrating that he only got 13 carries last game. He averaged 7.5 yards per carry. So that there are some positives, man. It's just not coming together as a team. And you know, I think you just tweeted about it, and I've been talking about him and pounding the table for this guy for a long time. But it's good to see guys like Jalen Coker develop. So if you want to take some small wins, there are some small wins of development that you can say, all right, yeah, we're getting there. But overall, it's just not accounting to wins. It's not building up to wins, and that's what's most important. That's what we want to see. And in this game, we didn't even get to see that competitiveness like we saw in the Bengals game. In the Bengals game, I'm okay with that kind of loss. We were in it. This game, it was gone from basically the beginning of the first half. I mean, the first quarter, it was like, all right, we're out of this thing, and it was gone from there.
We're talking to Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show, and the Fan Upstate joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Panther football. Let's turn our attention away from Chicago, turn it ahead to an NFC South divisional matchup this weekend. 4:25 kick taking on the Atlanta Falcons at the bank. I'm intrigued. Falcons beat my Saints. Falcons took the Bucks to overtime, knocked them off. We both came, or at least I came in thinking this is probably your most likely divisional champ. But I will also say, Rashad, they haven't exactly separated themselves from the field like I thought they were going to in this division so far. It's not, I don't think, an unwinnable game. I just think you guys will have to be perfect to win this game, especially with the number of injuries you've got going down. Forget win-loss, set the expectation for this game. What do you want to see out of Carolina rocking the black caps?
Man, I don't know, to be honest, man. I'm not a fan of Atlanta, but I got to be a realist here. I don't think this is a winnable game for the Panthers. There's just too many injuries. The offensive line, you know, you got Brady Christensen now starting the center. You've got Yash Nijman, who is going to be taking on right tackle. I have very low expectations for this game. I do want to continue to see some development. From the offensive side, I want to see them stick with the run, right? I want to see us run the football 30 times and take it out of the hands of Andy Dalton, take it out the hands of, because we're successful. We can run the football. I want to see us truly stick to the run like Canales has been saying since the beginning of the season, which he's not done. And so I want to see us run the football more. But at the same time, what we didn't talk about either in the Chicago game was the fact that we saw Bryce Young again. And I question, you know, you put Bryce Young in the game because of the patchwork offensive line. That patchwork offensive line is going to be starting basically in this Atlanta game. So I questioned, and I know he said that Dalton is the starter, but Dalton is not as mobile as Bryce, are we going to see Bryce again if the pressure picks up and they're not able to protect Andy Dalton? So we may see Bryce Young again. This is just questions that I have, and you kind of opened up Pandora's box when you continue to throw Bryce Young back in there, and now we got questions. You know, so I don't expect us to win this game. I want to see JC play, step it up and play well. Our secondary, they're okay. I think they can hang with some of the talented wide receivers that the Atlanta Falcons have. But from the pass rush perspective, we just don't have it. I don't know, man. I just have very, very low. You asked for expectations. I have very low expectations going to this game.
There was something you said a minute ago. I'm a poker guy. I'm not good. I just like to play it. And there's something when you're sitting at a table called a tell, right? Like you pick up that a player, whenever he's got a good hand, touches ear or whatever. Lonzo has a tell that he has, and I don't know if he has it or not, but anytime somebody says something that Lonzo likes or he agrees with, he crosses his hands like this, and he kind of sits back a little bit. And when you said run the ball just a second ago, he did that. You go back to BY, and Canales said, hey, we put him in there because the injuries and all that, and we also wanted to give him some time to play, whatever. I don't care if it's Young. I don't care if it's Dalton. I don't care if it's you, Rashad Beard. If you got somebody back there, you're trying to protect at QB1, especially with the offensive line dinged up the way it is. I'm going to need Chuba Hubbard to get about 28 carries in this game.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying that for a while here. Again, it's not like he's getting stuffed. He falls forward. I call him, if you watch during the live streams, I call him Mr. 5 yards. He's an automatic 5 yards. Anytime he touches the ball, he's not getting tackled for loss. He is running effectively. He's very good at it. And I can imagine how frustrated he is having to come off the field when I'm cooking. You know what I mean? So I want to see more Chuba Hubbard. And I agree with you, 25 plus rushes in this game, and let's dominate some field position. You know what I mean? Let's dominate time possession. Let's hold the football. Let's keep that talented Atlanta offense off the field. And that's what I hope, man. I just really want to see a competitive game. It's going to be at home. Obviously, I'm going to be there, and I want to see a W, but I just got very, very, very low expectations.
One of the PMP Army in the chat said, I'm calling this weekend Evero's last game, and then immediately responded to by another that said that I don't think you can do anything with the talent on this defense. I'm going to tell you right now, Atlanta has the capability. They haven't done it every game. They got the capable of to put a 40 spot up like New Orleans did back in week one. This is a spot where coaching's got to start to try to cover up for the injuries, to game plan away from the spots that the talent's a little thin. I know we talked about it in the Chicago game. I know you mentioned it a second ago, but defensively against Atlanta, where do you think you stand, or are you just in a world of hurt?
Yeah, I think I don't know, man. I don't know. We signed Carl Lawson, so that's cool, but, you know, aging vet, I don't know what we have in him. There's just no pass rush, and we don't know where Clowney stands, right? We don't know if Clowney's going to play or not. And without Clowney, there was literally no – I mean, Caleb was Williams last week was just – I mean, you give him a pillow and a blanket. He was back there really comfortable. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's no pass rush. Without a pass rush, you're not going to impact – the guys can't cover forever in the secondary. And that's really where Evero kind of hangs his hat is, of course, he doesn't have elite pass rushes in his defense, but your secondary has to be able to hold up for at least, you know, 3 seconds. If they can hold for 3 seconds, you give enough time for at least a mid-tier pass rusher to get to the football, to get to the quarterback. When your mid-tier pass rushers are not getting to the quarterback within 5 seconds, and Caleb can just chill back there, it's just we're going to be in a world of hurt. So I don't know, man, and we can't stop the run either. So, man, Derrick Brown with him, that was a massive loss. So I don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, if Caleb and the Bears can put up almost 40 against us, I can see that, you know, I can see Cousins and them doing some damage. So I have low hopes, expectations. And
go ahead.
No, I was going to say with Evero, man, it's hard to – I mean, we weren't very good last year either, to be honest, statistically. But we were able to, like, at least – you know, bend but don't break, right? That's what we were last year. Now we're breaking. We're bending and breaking, okay? It's not good. And so I don't know where Evero's going to go. I don't know if they're going to use him as a scapegoat, you know, fire him at the end of the year. But Sal is available now, so you never know what happens. And they're good buddies with Canales, so you never know what can happen there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this defense is tough, man.
The interesting thing, I think it's the differences between the quarterbacks last week to this week. Caleb Williams, obviously, a lot more mobile and not necessarily a guy that's gonna beat you by breaking the defense down. Kirk Cousins, the exact opposite, much more of a statue in the pocket, but a dude that if you're an inch out of position, he's going to knock that pass down. So it's going to be real interesting to see kind of the swing from one style to the other. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can find them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get to that YouTube page, get subscribed up, hit that notification because Rashad, the boys go live all the damn time. Y'all going to do some stuff on Sunday?
I will be going to the game, so I do a pregame show with my good buddy, Chris from Charlotte Vibe. So that we won't be probably do a postgame after the if it's you know I mean depending how it goes. I don't know, man. I'm getting a little tired to be honest with you. It's the same thing every week. We just repeat. Just replay the postgame from last week. And it's probably.
I was gonna say I checked in on the postgame last week and I was about this close to calling Rashad like a mental health care specialist there for just a second.
It's tough, man. Week in, week out, it's tough, man.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:30. My man, appreciate you, big dog. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation Podcast. Lonzo with the Sports Flash.
It kind of rhymed. It did. One half of the National League Divisional Series is set. The Mets beat the Phillies last night 4-1 off the back of Francisco Lindor grand slam in the sixth inning. The Mets await the winner of Friday's game 5 between the Dodgers and Padres. The Dodgers extended the series back to LA with a dominating 8-0 win over San Diego. On the American League side, the Tigers took a 2-1 lead over the Guardians. They're the Guardians with a 3-0 win at home, and the Yankees went up 2-1 in their series with Kansas City after a 3-2 win. Both of those series will resume today with Cleveland versus Detroit at 6:08 and the Yankees at the Royals at 8:08. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Gaffney to take on the Indians. It's Burns versus Gaffney right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, exclusively right here on The Fan, Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.